Reading from the Jiva Dharma, Chapter 3. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Gyanatamanandasya. Gyananjana Shalakaya. Takshurimurtam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Greetings from the Bhakti Center. I have to be frank, I didn't really have that much time to prepare. As I like. Yesterday, it's quite a busy day. I actually taught close to 10 hours of classes in Yoga Maya from 8 to 12:15 and from 1:45 to 5:15. And then we had a nice program with Madan Mohan. It was really wonderful. I saw some of our Sangha members there too. And today I had to prepare for tomorrow. There's 8 hours too. So I pretty much have, you know, studied this, so we'll go over. So let me read and you can carefully follow. Now let us consider in what sense the word nitya, eternal, and namitika have been used in relationship to the word karma. So this refers back to the initial question when the proud aristocratic Brahmin entered the assembly of Prem Das Babaji. A kirtan group came. And this one very aristocratic Brahmin, he kind of questioned in the middle of all the assemblies of the Vaishnavas why the Vaishnavas don't perform all the Nitya Dharma, the eternal or daily duties of the Brahmins. Prem Das Babaji, very advanced Vaishnava. Vaishnava is never inclined. Of course, he has to defend this tradition. That's even the qualification of an Acharya, that he has to sit on the Vyasasan in opposition to opposing views, so that one will not be confused, because Buddha Bhava Samabhata, if the purpose of bhakti is devotion, it has to be based on sambandhagyan, the right conception. Without the right conception, it's hard to have devotion. If you think you are God, how can you have devotion? If you think God is material, how can you have devotion? Think the purpose of life, if you think that you're the enjoyer, how can you have devotion? So, a Vaishnava, an Acharya, has to stand and defend, especially for the people who he's responsible for, that public challenges sometimes have to be refuted. But the nature or tendency of the Vaishnav is not to argue. Of course, out of duty, one has to represent their views, but generally, and therefore in the Narada Bhakti Sutras, it mentions that the nature of the Vaishnava is he's not argumentative. Because most of the arguments that we get in is based on the ego. If we are wrong and someone is right, they are superior to us, and God forbid that. Let me fight to the death. So that kind of tendency is not there. So generally, but he asks, and he probably has a purpose, his newly initiated disciple, Sannyas Thakur, who's become Vaishnava Das, but he's asked him now, you respond. And because even though he's new to Krishna consciousness, he's not new to spiritual life, and he was a highly accomplished sannyasi before, very, very learned. And he, before initiation, these particular doubts of his about, so many things were cleared up by his guru. So he begins to humbly respond, because also he does not want to respond, but as a service for his spiritual master, he responds. Vaishnava doesn't want to be a guru, never thinks he's a guru, but as a service to his spiritual master, he may take that position. And you see this in the nature of the Vaishnavas. They don't move for ego. They don't move for position. But for service, they'll conquer the world. So he responds in a very scholarly way, where you explain broad concepts and you keep on narrowing down until the question in hand, you've put it in the perfect context for people to understand. So he basically explains that real bhakti is raganuga. Real bhakti is done not out of obligation or rules, but out of love. And one's faith, his trust, is in service and love. And it's even the nature of the soul. Consciousness reaches its fulfillment and fruition in love. Consciousness is love. But if that natural love is not there, to remain fixed in spiritual principles, even though they're not our natural attraction, one keeps themselves under law. And to the extent that one hasn't developed the impetus to do things out of love, is the extent that one has to do things out of duty. It's better to do things out of love than do things out of duty, but it's better to do things out of duty than not do things that are spiritual. And if you don't have love, you don't develop a sense of duty, understanding. So Prem Das Babaji describes, now Vaishnava Das describes how one has to keep oneself under law, and develop that attraction even for that. Of course, the Vaishnava may follow rules, but with the premise, this pleases Krishna. So the love comes first, and maybe the rule comes second. Rather than the rule comes first, it's the difference in the Bhagavad Gita between pushpam patram palam toyam yome bhakta priyachati. If one offers with me with love of food, flower, and water, I accept it. That's bhakti. Love comes first, and then the activity. Where a lesser standard is, yat karoshi rasnasi, whatever you do, whatever you eat, do it as an offering to me. Whatever you're doing out of your desires, then work, and then the love is after you do things that you have proclivity and nature for, give the results to Krishna. So as most people do not have spontaneous love, manushyanam sahasreshu astyadyatati siddhayas, as it's so rare, then people have to develop a deep understanding of Dharma, of what is my duty, what is my, you know. And that system to regulate people is called Vanashra. Because your duties are based on your nature. According to your nature, you have certain responsibilities and certain duties to purify you. So it's very scientific. Chaturvanya maya shrishnam guna karma savara. It's established by Krishna, it says, in the Bhagavad Gita itself. So it's very scientific. But the objective is love. And when you come to that point, then all other duties are covered. Just like it says in Bhagavad Gita that all purposes of the well is served by the great reservoirs of water. An example is in a village, there may be a pond for bathing, a pond for washing utensils, you know, ponds or whatever it is, different ponds. But if you have a large reservoir, everything is covered. So once you come to the platform of Krishna consciousness, Sri Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavato Mati, when the inclination of the mind, Sri Krishna Bhakti Rasa, Sri Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavato Mati, when the inclination of the mind is filled with devotion in one's sense of relationship with Krishna, then everything is covered. When the motive is right, then one will do the right things. So now, it's a scholar. Now he's getting down to the question. So now he wants to analyze these brahminical duties that the Vaishnav may not follow, which are called nitya karma, or nitya dharma, or nitya tattva. He says, let's reconsider these terms as they're used in application to a Brahma. Are they eternal? Because if it's an eternal duty, then you can never give it up. So the Brahman said, these are nitya dharma, nitya tattva. These are nitya karma, nitya dharma, nitya tattva. These are things that you are nitya, they're eternal, they're always to be done. How come the Brahmins, the Vaishnavas don't perform them? So Vaishnav Das now explains, after he explains these duties that the karma, the work of the Varnashram and the Brahmins. Now he says we have to reconsider really what these terms mean, nitya or eternal, naimittika or circumstantial. What are really, eternal means it's always your duty, and naimittika means it's your duty in certain conditions. And when the conditions don't exist, they're not your duty. Like you ever may have a duty because you're a woman, but in the next life you can be a man. So it's not your nitya dharma, the duties of a woman or duties of a man, or it's going to say also the duties of a Robin. If it's a duty of a Brahmin, and Brahmin is not an eternal position, then the duties of a Brahmin are really naimittika, circumstantial or occasional, not eternal. He said, if we consider the profound purport of the Shastras, we can see that these two words have not been used to refer to karma in a paramartika sense, which relates to the supreme spiritual truth. This word, these are words that are common that people are familiar with the Shastras. Paramartika, which means paramartika, paramartika. It means it's a spiritual. Rather, they have been used in a routine, vyavaharika, or figurative sense. Properly speaking, words like nitya dharma, this is the key thing of the Jiva Dharma, that the real eternal duty is not based on occasional circumstance. It has to be based on what you are. And what we are in all its circumstances, and we are a servant of God. And that duty, even if we're not doing it, remains with us in every circumstance. Duties in terms of material designations are temporary. Because they our material designations change, therefore those duties change. And what the point is going to be making, and therefore a Vaishnava, which is Vaishnava Dharma, which means the duty of the soul, doesn't necessitate that one has to have all the duties that a Brahmin does. Because the whole purpose of Varnashram, the whole purpose of the Vedas, is to realize the self. And Prabhupada said, the perfected state of the living entity is called a devotee. That's the pure condition of the living entity, is a devotee. That's who we are. And really, Vedic spiritual things is to realize that. Of all the Vedas, I am to be known. Therefore, in the general use of the word nitya karma, the word nitya, or eternal, is applied to the word karma only in a figurative, attributive sense, because karma in the world is a means to an end and only remotely indicates eternal truth. You do your karma to get to something else. When you get to something else, you no longer have that karma, the duties. So it's only figurative. It's only nitya, eternal, in the sense that you do it every day. You do it every day when you're in that designation. But when you come to the platform of Vaishnava, love of God, your duties are to please Krishna. And if it's to adopt brahminical responsibilities in Banashri, you may do it. But if it's not your responsibility, you don't have to do it. Actually, karma again, the only thought is nitya. In an indirect sense, when karma is directed towards Gyan by means of karma yoga, and Gyan is directed towards, so it has a nitya sense when the objective is bhakti. When you practice Gyana or karma, and it's what you need to do to purify yourself and move to bhakti. The Brahmins chanting of Brahma Gayatri Mantra, Sandhya Vardhana, is sometimes described as Nitya Karma. This is valid in the sense that the practices that are remotely directed towards bhakti through physical activities may be Nitya, term Nitya, but only because they aim at Nitya Dharma. In reality, they are not Nitya. For example, if you go to the spiritual world, you'll still be serving Krishna. But whether the gopis are chanting Gayatri, so it's not nitya, it's not eternal. It's meant to bring you the point. Therefore, it even says, you chant the Hare Krishna mantra and you be, so that's like a big, that's like, you chant the Hare Krishna mantra and you become purified and qualified to chant the Gayatri mantra. And by chanting the Gayatri mantra, you may realize your eternal relationship with Krishna and then be able to chant the Shuddha Nam. And the Shuddha Nam will take you to the spiritual world where that may not be a requirement. This is valid in the sense that the practices that are remotely, okay, actually, the only true nitya karma for the jiva is Krishna praying. The only thing that's actually your duty and always your duty is to love God. In ontological terms, the true nitya karma is referred to as unalloyed spiritual cultivation. So the nitya karma is what? The shuddha chit anushilana. Activities that are purely directed towards Krishna, or activities directed towards reinstating one's pure transcendental consciousness. The physical activities that one will naturally have to adopt to attain this chit anusilanam, this pure spiritual consciousness, to uncover the nature of the soul, they are assistants. To real nitya karma, there's no fault referring them as nitya karma. From the absolute perspective, though, it would be better to refer to such activities as naimittika, or temporary, rather than nitya. The divisions of karma into nitya and naimittika are only from a relative point of view, not from the absolute spiritual perspective. So he's establishing that these activities of the Brahmin for their purification, they may can be connected to devotion, but they're not from the absolute perspective eternal, which is going to answer the question, why a Vaishnava may not adopt some of the activities of a Brahmin's duties in Vanashra. So he's answering this Brahmin's question. From the point of view of the essential nature of things. The Nitya Dharma of the Jivas is unalloyed spiritual practice, and all other types of Dharma are naimittika. Only bhakti is the eternal occupational duty of the living entity. Everything else is occasional and based on the material situation that you're in. This applies to Varnashram Dharma, Astanga Yoga, Sankhya Yoga, Tapasya. In the conversation between Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya, when Lord Chaitanya asked Ramananda Roy, what is the topmost verse? What is the topmost verse in all the shastras? And Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy first says, Vanashrama Charavata, it's Vanashram. He said, because it says, there's verses that, you know, Vanashram is very pleasing to Krishna. But in terms of the essence, the topmost verse, he said, Ehabaya. It's external. External to what? To the nature of the soul. Vanashram applies to our particular material situation. And of course, as devotees, we may have to adhere to those social duties as part of our service as brahmacharis or grihasthas or sannyasis, as part of our service, and therefore it may be Nitya Dharma. But the grihastha may become a sannyasi, and we've seen sannyasi may become a grihastha. These are all naimittika dharma or temporary dharma, because the living entity would not need these dharmas if he were not bound. The conditioned state of being bewildered by maya is itself a circumstantial cause, and the function or duty that is prompted by a circumstantial cause is known as naimittika dharma. Being bound in maya is temporary. Therefore, from the absolute perspective, they're all naimittika dharma. Naimittika dharma includes the superiority of the Brahmins. So now he's telling this Brahmin, he so nicely explained it, their sanyavadana, their acceptance of sannyas after renunciation of karma, all these activities are highly recommended in the Dharma Shastra. They're all beneficial in consideration of the appropriate eligibility, but they still have no standing in relationship to Nitya Karma. So now he's going to give some verses, and we should really listen to them. They're very, very beautiful. And it's also that spiritual culture that when you speak truths, if you can reference it from Shastra, the authority of what you say and the ability of what you say to invoke faith in people to accept it is substantially increased. There's three types in the Yoga Sutras. In the Yoga Sutras, it describes that there are five conditions of the mind that are inclusive of every condition the mind can be in. There's the first one is pramana, correct knowledge. The mind can be in a situation where it correctly identifies something. And then there's error. The mind can be in a condition where it incorrectly identifies something. Then there's imagination or metaphor. The mind can be in a condition where it's metaphor, like you can say time flies, It's a truth that doesn't actually exist in a physical plane. And then there's memory, some other. Anyway, correct knowledge is pratyaksha, direct experience. You can have correct anuman, inference based on direct experience, and agama, verbal testimony. So in the Vaishnav perspective, the highest evidence is by reference to someone who's an authority in a particular field. That's the greatest evidence, not direct perception, because the senses are imperfect and they tend to be illusion. And inference is based on direct perception. So, here, he's going to now prove his point that Naimittika Dharma, that all these activities are beneficial, but they have no standing in relationship to they can't compare to pure devotional service. So he quotes from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Let's listen to a few of these verses. Vipradishad gunayatad aravindanabha padaravindavamukhat supacham virishtam. In my estimation, a bhakta who has taken birth in a family of dog eaters, but who has a dedicated, who has dedicated his mind, word, and activities and wealth to the lotus feet of Sri Krishna, is superior to a Brahmin endowed with all 12 brahminical qualities, but who is diverted from the lotus feet of Sri Padmanabha. Such a bhakta, although of lowly birth, can purify himself and his entire family, whereas the Brahmin who is filled with pride cannot even purify himself. Vaishnav means humble. Because realization of the soul means realization of God. And to get free of ego, we have to consider something greater than ourselves. So the Vaishnav position is one of humility and free from ego. Therefore, even a person who's a Vaishnava, but by is born in a low family, and here it says, the commentary is actually Swapacho, a family of dog eaters, and says he actually eats dog. The commentary says that. He's better. Because he's free from ego. And therefore, he can purify everyone. But a Brahmin who has so many good qualities, but is not a Vaishnava, is not humble, then all the qualities increase the material condition. He's clean, he's tolerant, he's self-controlled. And I am Brahman, I am this, I am that, I am that. And the ego appropriates it. The 12 qualities of Brahman are truthfulness, control of the senses, austerity, freedom from malice, modesty, tolerance, freedom from envy, sacrifice, charity, fortitude, study the Vedas and accepting vows. Brahmins endowed with these 12 qualities are certainly worthy of honor in the world. However, if a chandala, a dog eater, is a bhakta, he is superior to the Brahmin who possesses these qualities but do not have Krishna bhakti. The purport is that a person who is born a chandala, who has been purified by the samskara, the impressions achieved through sadhu sangha, who is now engaged in the jiva's nitya dharma of pure spiritual cultivation, is superior to the Brahmin who is established in naimittika dharma, but abstains from the nitya dharma of unalloyed devotional service. I remember one devotee I'm thinking of who's mentally ill, very seriously mentally ill. But one temple I visited, he'd always come and clean. Absolutely humble. He had so little capacity to even get up before noon, but he would be so humble and he would serve. So attractive. There are two kinds of human beings in this world, those who are spiritually awake, udita vivek, and those who are spiritually unconscious, anudita vivek. Most people in this world are spiritually unconscious. Those who are spiritually awake are rare. Of all those who are spiritually conscious, the Brahmins are the best. The Brahmins' nitya dharma, karma, such as sandhavadana, is the best of all duties that are prescribed for the different varnas. Another name for those who are spiritually awake is Vaishnava. Their behavior will necessarily be different from the behavior of those who are spiritually unconscious. Even so, the behavior of the Vaishnava is not opposed to the aim of the Smriti rules, which are established in order to regulate people who are spiritually unconscious. The ultimate aim of all these Shastras is always one. The aim of the Shastras is to purify you and bring you to your original state as a devotee. Those who are spiritually unconscious are bound to a particular portion of the stark and rudimentary injunctions of Shastra. Where those who are spiritually awake receive the underlying essence of Shastra as an intimate friend. He has the underlying essence of Shastra. These two groups of people perform different activities, but their aim is the same. Ineligible people may think that the behavior of those who are spiritually awake is opposed to the behavior of people in general, but in reality, the fundamental aim of these different patterns of behavior is the same. Okay, for today, I think because of the long day and I have tomorrow, I have to stop now. Anybody have any questions? Would someone like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Govardhan Pratap Das.
Hare Krishna Govardhan. Send me an email with your phone number. I'd like to talk to you tomorrow about arranging to come over another time, okay?
Okay, man. I'll let you. Thank you.
Please do that. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Gail.
Okay, Gail, Hare Krishna. And there was someone else that said hello. Who is that?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Hanan from Gainesville. Thank you for being in class.
Thank you. It was a tough one. The purport, the verses didn't lend to as much explanation as I like. But still, it's always interesting.
I read it before and I couldn't understand it. So now with your class, I feel inspired to read it again.
Okay, thank you. That's great. Thank you so much. Wonderful. Gail, you have any questions?
Oh, actually, I know it wasn't an easy subject, but I think you made it clear.
Okay, great. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisance.
Wow, another duo. Hare go. Thank you.
Maharaj, I have a, not questions, and I wanted to finish up the verse that you know.
Okay, please.
Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita Mati Priyatam Jadi Kutata Labbote Tattu Lallam Apeka Mullam Janma Kuti Shukriti Na Labbote.
Translation.
If Krishna Bhakti is available in the market, I'll buy it. But by pious activities in millions of lives, also cannot get that. But only one way it can be obtained, that's extreme greed for that.
Beautiful. Wow, that's so wonderful. Thank you. So sweet. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, we can end for today. Thank you all so much for coming. Now
thank
tomorrow
you,
at my eight-hour seminar on bhakti, it's so relishable. Seven people, you know, and I'm going to be with them this week, 16 hours, just giving them Krishna consciousness. And very, you know, people pay a lot of money for these courses. I don't charge anything, but they usually give me a donation at these studios. So these people, very nice people. And even people who volunteered to help me. I'm producing a film on Govardhan called The Krishna Mountain with a award-winning filmmaker. It's been going on for 2 years. But two documentary filmmakers are in this course, and they want to help. So you meet very nice people. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Lunch, you call for people.